mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 410. I'm Adam, and kill him! And here's Debbie Melrose.
What kind of bird laid that?
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
I suppose you could say the yolk's on him if you were the sort of person who said that sort of thing, which fortunately I'm not.
And Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Is that tempered steel?
That was great.
Yeah, it was good. So how was Oz then, Mary?
Oh, well, let's see. Major destruction. Not a short walk from my house. I don't know. My house and my neighborhood were spared, except for some tree debris. Mm. But we were trapped in our neighborhood for 2 days because the road leading out of it was so covered in downed trees, power poles, electric wires, and just general, you know, house debris and all that. It took them 2 days to clear that road so we could even leave.
It was probably when your house landed on the Wicked Witch of the East, and then in that time you were asleep, because obviously when Kirby spoke to you about it, you did sort of were slightly oblivious to the sort of the amount of devastation that had actually occurred in Dayton until the next morning when you wandered out. Wondering where your cat had gone.
Too busy up on the Yellowbrick Road.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that night when it occurred, I mean, there was my own, you know, horror and scarediness and all that stuff as I hid in the hallway and I heard the roar of the tornado either passing overhead or really close by, because, like I said, the devastation is within a very short, like a 5 minute walk from my house. And speaking of things being lifted in the air, there was a school about 2 miles from me where the entire roof did get lifted off, and it landed on the houses of some people who were like hiding in their basements, and it took emergency services to like dig them out, and they were okay in their basements, but the roof of the school came right down on these 2 houses.
Oh my goodness.
Crushing the houses and trapping the people in their basements. Yeah.
Ooh. So did you see any tornadoes or just heard them?
Oh, I think hearing them's enough.
I'd love to see a dramatic one. I saw one on a hill just outside Oxford once, but it wasn't very dramatic.
You took a picture of it, didn't you? Yeah.
Yes.
They're so rare here, aren't they?
They're more like dust storms, aren't they, the tornadoes? Mm-hmm. Not particularly. I think one did destroy a caravan park in Weymouth once.
Yeah, and there was that one that that cut a path through Birmingham.
Yeah.
This happened at 11:30 at night, so there was no seeing it. There was only, you know, the television with them showing us, you know, the track of the storms.
Yeah.
And all the air raid sirens that were going, you know, to warn people, you know, to get to shelter and all that. So there was a lot of noise involved, but nothing to see. And the one that passed near me, they reported, they called it, here they have a system of grading tornadoes, that this was an F4, meaning that the winds were anywhere from 170 to 200 miles an hour.
I know. I watched Twister. I know F4 is a big one. F5's a killer, isn't it?
Yeah, and that is death. 5 is a death. No. But they said that it was a half a mile wide on its path.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
So, we have our own Dorothy on the podcast. So Mary reporting from Dayton, Ohio, on the tornadoes
of
Dayton. So we better really think about talking about Doctor Who. This week we're going to be talking about Creature from the Pit. My quote was an easy one, because I was quite all we could hear throughout the whole episode was that woman with the funny makeup going, kill him, or kill him, wait.
kill him, wait.
That's what I should have said, actually. Kill him, wait. So anyway, the episode starts with the bloke being... Oh God, bloody hell!
No, I'm hearing music over my speakers.
It's not music; it's Mary's wind chimes, which I think, yeah, under the circumstances, were probably quite a good thing.
I just closed the window, so hopefully we won't hear them so much.
Okay. It's so pretty.
Yeah, they're a good warning that if they go a bit too jangly, Mary has to duck.
Yes. I like the wind chimes.
Yes. Anyway, like I say, some bloke got chucked down a pit, and a woman with... oh, for Christ's sake.
He didn't get very far.
It's Terry Walsh being chucked down the pit, and he's going to get chucked down the pit in his other character soon, and then he's also going to get chucked down the pit as the Doctor when he's in the doubling as the Doctor. So he goes down the pit three times.
Well, you must be pregnant with jumping.
I did say I want to watch Britain's Got Talent tonight, didn't I? Anyway,
we got 30 seconds in, yay!
Yeah, so like I say, after during the pit throw, the woman, she was a bit moody, wasn't she, that woman? I can't remember her name. Anyway, she did a lot of hand acting.
Adrasta?
Yeah, she was good.
So, back onto the TARDIS, and Romana's wearing a very strange sort of Vandy Pandy type costume. And something's happened to K-9, his voice has gone crap.
Yeah.
It's become David Brierley. Ew.
And he's got far too much expression in him. He's got real attitude.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not K-9.
No. Not K-9. I know they've been practicing.
He actually gets leery with a couple of people. That's not K-9. K-9 Joe always stays calm. But anyway, rubbish voice. Sorry, David. I know you're not with us anymore, but you were appallingly bad at doing K-9. And I think I'm going to have blame David for the fact that we lost K-9 in the following series. No spoilers there. Well, in Doctor Who anyway, because he did come back, didn't he? So we have a few little filler scenes in which the Doctor talks about the Minotaur and the help he gave the Minotaur and stuff like that, which slightly...
Master? No, he gave Theseus help, didn't he? Not the Minotaur.
Oh, you know what I'm right.
I'm wondering if that's a foreshadowing of two stories from now.
You wonder?
I think it's a given, isn't it?
Lord Nymai.
I'll be quiet. I'm just trying to find my priority jingles folder because Debbie is going to get one of these.
I got points deducted for being a smart ass.
Oh, right. I get points deducted for being a smart ass all the time.
Anyway, right, so that's
by
about
the way, that should be our quote in 2 weeks. I think our quote in 2 weeks should be Lord Nymai.
Be quiet. Anyway, so there's a pointless little scenes there of banter and having to put up with K-9's rubbish new voice. There's a bit of sort of turbulence, I suppose you call it, in the TARDIS, and they decide to materialise and land on, obviously, the planet we've recently seen the bloke going down the pit on. And then, of course, Rana goes wandering off. The Doctor finds a very interesting eggshell and then gets attacked by a load of tumbleweeds.
Obviously, jokes.
Exactly.
they're very well done.
What, your jokes? I don't think so.
Basically, Master.
Yes.
Basically, they're being propelled the same way 40 years later BB-8 works.
That's true, yes, because it's the same mechanism, isn't it, falling? Yes, yeah. I did wonder that.
Don't know what you're talking about, apart from I thought it was just people holding onto them off screen and rolling them.
No, there's a motor inside each one.
Yeah.
A radio control device. The motor is weighted, and as it goes forward, it basically turns the whole thing from the inside. It's exactly like BB-8, except it doesn't have a little head on the top.
Oh, right. The Doctor, gets attacked by a load of tumbleweeds, and then, of course, he discovers he's in some place that if you're discovered in... the penalty's
the
death.
The place of death.
Oh, the place of death.
That's the place of death.
It's a bit like the forbidden forest in Harry Potter.
We call it the place of death. We call it the pit. We call it the creature.
Yeah. We call it.
We call it. The Doctor's very sweaty in this scene.
Mm-hmm. He's sweaty in this entire story.
Maybe he shouldn't have taken his coat and scarf off. It's probably would have helped him in the circumstances.
Master?
Oh, God.
Corella, the old lady.
Yes.
was also the old mother from the first story, An Unearthly Child. She was the first person to... She's the first person to die on Doctor Who.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Well, you didn't, so there you go. Not a bad one, Kirby. Not bad at all.
Debbie?
Yeah?
The secret is to interrupt.
No, it isn't.
But the Adam wasn't like it.
Right. So, that's right. So the Doctor gets put in the stocks, and then we meet a couple of Monty Python tramps. Who are watching?
Oh, yes, yeah, watching through the
they were
woods,
weird. Yeah.
Who are rather obsessed with metal, as we'll find later on.
All right, my lovely boys. He was trying to be Fagin.
He was very Fagin, but pathetically so. Alan T. Butcher said, "It's hot in the studios, but no one else is sweating and wearing a great big coat and a scarf." But I will say that the Fagin characters, the Monty Python tramps, are all wearing furs and stuff. So I would have thought that they'd be quite sweaty too under these circumstances. Didn't like Karamana's dress in this story, to be fair. You were going to say something?
I said maybe they had a hanky to wipe themselves with hidden somewhere.
My goodness. It's like having Andy Nunny back. Talking from the other room. How'd that work then?
I had to go and put something in the bin. Sorry.
Something in the bin.
Yeah.
Wasn't Kirby's contract for this show, was it? So the Doctor gets called in with his stocks, and then they let him off, and we have a bit of banter between the Doctor and what's her name again? Funny paint. Do you have a face paint sort of painting? Reminded me a little bit of Iron Man in some ways.
I liked, I thought that could be a new makeup fashion.
Yeah, it's easy to cosplay.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, I rather liked it.
Yeah, very. I'm surprised we don't see him. What's this character's name again?
Lady Adrasta.
Lady Adrasta's sort of cosplay in things. Alan T. Butcher said, "It's hot in a big coat and scarf." That's what I just blimmin' well said. And Lillian Robin says, "Lala Ward didn't like that dress. I like it." That'll probably be a bit mothball-y, well, moth-holy by now. It's quite old. But yes. Anyway, so meanwhile, Romana gets sort of kidnapped by the tramps, but she's far too clever for them.
The It's men.
Yeah, far too clever for them, and gives them a bit of metal, which they've sort of, as I've referred to, is they're rather obsessed with, and sort of easily cons them into blowing into it, therefore waking up Crap Voice Canine. And Crap Voice Canine follows the path of the whistles, and while that's happening, there's a little sort of almost like a weird mirror that doesn't work hanging on the wall, which is a particularly favoured trinket of that woman whose name I keep forgetting.
Adrasta.
Yeah,
Adrasta.
You can fill in the gaps, that's fine. And Ed becomes Master. A target of the tramps. Yes, whatever your name is.
It's one way to remember her name is think about the word, the Latin words that mean to the stars.
The Ed Latin Astra. Words? You expect me to know Latin words?
Ed Astra.
You went to university. I went to Isle of Wight College of Arts and Technology. It's a quite different blimmin' place. Anyway, Matthew Kressler's joined. He's a very quiet man, Matthew. He doesn't say much now. Have you noticed that? Moving on. Right. So where are we up to? Oh, so K9 turns up, and the tramps are thinking, "Whoa, bit of metal there, whoa." And the K9, I will say, gets really irritated, which is, again, un-K9-like, about being called tin.
Yeah, he got really angry, didn't he?
I am not tin. I am not tin.
And the funny thing is that K9's made out of fiberglass.
Yeah, because he was carried around everywhere this episode.
Well, they
ruined the illusion.
It's very interesting. You can see them swap between the mechanical K9 and the propped carry around K9 all the time.
Carry around one. Yeah.
There's one point where
I've got a sketchy head.
I believe it's in episode 3.
Yes.
They put him down on a table and he's all covered in dirt.
Yes.
Camera cuts away and then they've swapped K9s again to the mechanical one and he's not covered in dirt anymore.
Right. I will say this. The The one, the light one they carry around, the fiberglass one, whatever you call it, is has a much better voice than the one that goes around on the wheels. Just like to point out.
Because no voice at all is
much better than the crap one that K9 has got for this series. I'm so glad, because I know that David Breary did the voice for Sharda of K9 originally, but the new new Sharda has John Leeson's voice. So hurrah!
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
I didn't realise that. And I've seen that Sharda.
David Brearley did K9 for the whole series, and including Sharda. But when Sharda was redone and Tom Baker filled in the gaps during the animation, the whole of K9's dialogue was replaced with John Leeson's. And also the Big Finish version, which had Paul McGann playing the Doctor, friend of the show. K9 was voiced by John Leeson, because I think David Brearley?
I always said Brierley, but I don't know.
Whatever, Brierley, Brearley, it doesn't matter. He died a while back, didn't he? Anyway, back to this particular episode. I think, we're only still on episode one. Right, so the K9 shoots a couple of people. He's in a really bad mood this episode. And
Romana's quite bloodthirsty. She's the one firing him at people.
She holds him sometimes and aims.
I see what you mean. I've just got a screenshot of Terry Walsh with a green face. Looks like he's turning into the Incredible Hulk, having sort of been
to see me when I'm
thrown
angry.
Down the pit. Yes, yeah. And then, of course, Doctor's being threatened with it, and Romana turns up, and then K9 tries to shoot a couple of these.
It's quite an ineffectual rescue attempt for K9 being so cool and all that.
So he tries to shoot a couple of the tumbleweeds, but the tumbleweeds sort of attack him. And then I think the Doctor then jumps down the pit, holding on to the rope of the well rope.
It's his scarf.
Yeah, but the well rope then unravels. It's really quite a cool. I quite like that a little bit, actually.
Terry Walsh dressed as the Doctor.
Oh, be quiet. Episode 2 begins with quite a long recap, and the Doctor sort of, instead of falling all the way down and unravelling the well rope, just clings to the side of the shaft. But not for long.
This Master.
Oh, God.
This is Doctor Who, not Star Trek. You say he's a Klingon?
Oh, I got a point deducted for less than that.
Do you sit and write these out ahead of time,
Kirk? Oh. So, yeah, Romana's a little bit concerned about the Doctor going down, but I think she does sort of see him down the pit.
Romana is not very Romana-like in this story.
As I said last week, this is the first one episode or story she recorded. I think she got into it a bit more as the story went on, but no, she wasn't very. There's a ridiculous little gag of him finding something, and it's in Tibetan, so he then gets another book out, which is Teach Yourself Tibetan. Now, we all know the Doctor lived in Tibet for quite a long time when he... also, with the what they call those big furry creatures, Yeti. He was in Tibet then. He also there was Kampo Rinpoche, who was a Tibetan friend, obviously a Time Lord, but he became a Tibetan monk. So he must have known Tibetan. He's got the TARDIS. He can speak Tibetan. Tell them off, Kirby. It's very naughty.
We haven't established yet that the TARDIS has. A translation circuit.
I suppose we haven't, but we have established that they can just speak any language, whatever planet they land on.
Yeah, the Doctor speaks Tibetan in Planet of the Spiders. Although it's the same gibberish, which isn't really Tibetan.
Now, all right, Kirby, you really do like destroying the illusion, don't you?
Master, Douglas Adams later said that he regretted allowing that joke through.
Well, but that's all right then. That makes it okay, doesn't it?
It was funny. I enjoyed it.
I will say, I might have a slightly off topic here. I will say that TARDIS constructor extraordinaire Mark Hyford has joined the viewership, obviously fleeting. Do not worry, Mark. This is a cardboard cutout. It's a wobbly set TARDIS. See? Anyway, back to the episode. There we go. I've got a very bad shoulder at the moment. It's playing me up. Probably through stress of not being able to get a birthday cake for Isabella. What?
In all seriousness, do you want me to make a birthday cake?
No, I want something that she can eat.
Oh, God!
What?
I do not resemble that remark.
No, be fair, right? Yes, it'd be very nice for that, but they want something special. It's her 13th birthday. So she wants something grand and, you know, special and a theme type. A theme like...
It has to do the prints on the... pictures on the cake prints over in Newport.
I think something lumpy and, you know, half baked and all that would be very special.
Yeah. Be quiet. No. We're going to go to M&S to have a 7-day window, which we missed, and she's blaming me. This is Deb. She's blaming me because on Friday we were very busy doing weddings and stuff like that. Somewhere along the line, we missed the window. And M&S have an opening window and then a closing window. We missed the closing window. And that's where we wanted to get the cake from. Well, I did, but Deb said she'd get a cheaper cake from Morrison's, something like that. But all the cakes in Morrison's, Asda, Sainsbury's, they're all utter rubbish. Tesco's, all rubbish. They're not suitable for a special 13th birthday. But we do know lots of cake makers, but it's a trouble. Then you go from a sort of £55 that M&S would have charged us to about £80 that somewhere like Miss Dotty's would charge for making it, obviously, by hand. But it's a very, very awkward situation. It has to be. It's a 13th. It has to be something special. I appreciate your gesture, Debbie.
That's all right, man.
But it has to be something.
Oh. Sorry, farted? Tom's doing something in the other room.
Moving back to Doctor Who, right there. So K-9 has been mothballed, essentially. He's been covered in some sort of strange material. And then the Doctor...
It's the stuff from the cactus weeds, the wolf weeds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like they've dribbled all over him. I don't know. The Doctor ends up... What happens? Something makes the little safety hook he put into the side of the shaft slip, and he ended up falling down the shaft anyway. I did forget to mention that at some point, because of Kirby, that this astrologer bloke has also gone down the pint.
Cat weasel.
Yeah. Do you know what he reminds me? Obviously, I'm pretty sure he was the bloke who was originally going to play the Doctor, the first Doctor, and might have played the alternative first Doctor in that story where, what was, you know, when the, was it the chase where there was an evil first Doctor and a... And you did know which one was which, because it was quite clear which one wasn't William Hartnell. I'm pretty sure it's him.
Well, no, it's not him.
It's not him.
He did play the Doctor in some Big Finish.
Oh, did he? But you know who he reminds me of? When I heard his voice, if you've watched a series called Blackadder, it's a very good series, Blackadder 2 specifically, Episode 1, he reminds me of, the voice reminds me of Bob's dad, the way he speaks.
Yes, Kate, and, I want you to become a prostitute.
Yes, it's a very funny. Oh, God.
So have you, now I was unaware of that comedy kids show that I can't remember the name of. Right now,
Horrible Histories.
Something horrible weasel.
Cat weasel.
Cat weasel. Until Laurie Nix brought it up, So I started watching some, and I like it.
Good. But, well, that's nice, isn't it? Shall we go back to Doctor Who?
I've been watching Tripods all week.
Well, we've been going back to the beginning of Big Bang Theory and watching them again. So.
And you saw Debbie, you saw that I posted that. Bruce Purchase is in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Right, you shut up and meet on with Doctor Who. I'm going to start...
The pirate...
Good grief.
Pirate captain from
Pirate... I'll sit back for a minute. Ow! If I can undo me... There we go. Oh, we stop. Why is it? The minute you're going to talk about nonsense, I have to sit back. I get nice and comfortable. You shut up.
We brought it around to Doctor Who.
No, don't be quiet. Right then, back to Doctor Who. Where were we? Right then, so I think I've missed a bit here because you were talking. So there's that woman whose name you said I should be able to remember because I should know, I should be fluent with Latin. tries to get Romana on side, and Yeah, so I'm just skipping through. Oh, yeah, then they bring K-9 in, who's covered in some weird, looks like...
something from the cactuses.
Yeah, it's almost like a web, isn't it?
Looks like spider webbing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's quite funny that when K-9 talks in a slightly muffled crap voice from underneath the thing. Anyway, meanwhile, the Doctor's down in the pit, and he's lit a match, and he's having a look around, and he meets his green thing. Protuberance, shall we say?
Oh, my God. Why was this even allowed?
Yeah, you gotta wonder what they were thinking. And that's a family show.
It was an allegedly innocent age, Debbie.
Okay.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, not that innocent.
Have you not seen that episode of Rainbow, wow, that when they sing that song which is all about double entendres?
Oh, you guys dropped out there for a second.
Oh.
Did we?
Did we? I don't feel like I dropped out. I've been here all the time.
Yeah.
The Doctor meets up with...
There's an entire extra on the DVD about the designing and realizing that the creature was poorly designed. And they talk with a couple of people from the special effects department.
And tell them off.
And you can see that between episode 2 and episode 3, they tried to redesign the main protuberance.
Yes.
Well, it didn't succeed.
No. It does make its own only real main appearance in episode 2, though. Laurie Nick says, hello, my own... Yeah, my only thoughts regarding this episode is that penicillin is needed in distant galaxies. Ew. Or is she saying penis, Ilin? I can't quite read that.
Oh, dear.
Dear. I don't know. She might have misspelled it. Right then. So then we meet the astrologer chap who I was referring to that I thought had played the Doctor or Bob's dad in Blackadder. He's very good. And then we get to a sequence, several sequences in which Romana's sort of trying to fend off the woman who with the Latin name, and the Doctor then gets all friendly with the astrologer bloke, who's convinced it's all in the stars. And I've got an itchy leg. I do hope I don't get cramped tonight. As I will pre-warn you, I may be prone to cramp. I've been extremely busy and getting very dehydrated over the last couple of days due to very hot weather and lots of work. Did a 14-hour shift yesterday at a wedding that I was shooting. Now I'm delaying things for Big Britain's Got Talent. It must be contagious, Kirby. So then we go into the room where all the tramps are, and the tramps are just sort of inspecting all their little collection of metal artifacts with a ploy or a plan, sorry, a plan afoot to collect some more.
This is his big Fagin moment.
He was a bit pathetic, wasn't he? Anyway, then we move on, and then K-9 is dusted down a little bit, and really is sulking, and then Romana carries K-9, hands K-9 over. It's a bit filthy, but then he has been, you know, underneath a lot of plants. And then Romana gets a knife to her throat. So we have sort of glossed over the fact that we keep seeing these sort of hexagon sort of shaped shell things. They are there. And then we see a throbbing green mess in the corner of the cave. And then they all end up down the pit.
Some fun with all that.
They all end up down the pit because apparently there's a door to the pit in Latin named woman's house.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there's a few entrances, but they are all guarded, Doctor.
Yes.
And then the astrologer bloke and the Doctor walk into the green cave and see the creature face to face. And the Doctor
That's
goes...
That's not its face.
Well, it is in that planet. And the Doctor goes up and has a sort of hello moment with it and then gets smothered by it. which is essentially the cliffhanger for episode 3. So, but he's all right. The creature just rolls off him. And then... more or less sort of pushes...
They try and communicate, don't they? Spends ages trying to work out how to communicate with it.
Yeah.
Yes, including blowing down its whatever.
Yeah. Do you know what that is, Doctor? No, I'm going to blow down it.
So anyway, they get they get blown out of the cave, and then the cave gets sealed with the Doctor inside by this sort of shell-like material. And while they're all down there, the tramps go on a little mission to try and steal some metal, and the Doctor finds a way of trying to communicate with the with a weird by holding on to his protuberance and trying to speak into it. And then the communicator device that's hanging off the wall, at this stage we don't know it's a communicator device. It's quite interesting as well, and looking at those little star things that were sort of flashing around it, clearly some sort of digital dance floor piece which they sort of rigged up to look like a something, yes, from outer space, but it was still quite effective, I felt. And I did like the design of it. I thought it was quite rustic. But anyway, the tramps nick it, and
they're kind of taken over by it.
Yeah, and then they sort of wandering around slightly. What would you call it? Hypnotized by it, mm-hmm. And the Doctor sort of manages to gain some sort of communication. I don't know. He does. He's sort of communicating with it without this device, isn't it? And eventually, they break through this. After K9 fails and runs out of energy, they break through this sort of shell thing.
The Doctor breaks through it from the other side,
yeah,
as if there's,
yeah, he
no
just
problem.
Walks through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the what do you call it? The tramps carry the communication device. Still hypnotized into the cave, which obviously this is while the Latin named woman is got her knife to the Doctor's throat this time, and now she starts panicking when the thing is placed onto the green throbbing thing and starts screaming no, 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 because of course now she knows that this creature can tell the truth, but we don't know at the end of this episode. She's just going a bit mad. So episode 4, the truth is
spoken. She's given
away
a few times, you know, that she knows more about this creature than,
yes,
she wants anyone to think she does.
Indeed. The truth is spoken. We find out this creature was a sort of emissary from his planet and got trapped in the cave by
the
evil lady. And, pardon?
Using
the larynx.
Yeah. Headrester, yes. And, when the truth is said, that all the guards and sort of friends of her seem to turn on her a little bit, and what I thought was a bit brutal is the creature eats her and all the she didn't actually eat her, she killed her, smothered her,
yeah,
there,
crushes
killed,
her, yeah.
Yeah. Well, right, I'm going to get my revenge on you, and that's that. And not really sort of the behaviour of her, even though it's been treated cruelly, it doesn't make him any better, does it, by killing her? Possibly, I don't know, but it did. And it was sort of glossed over. I don't think the Doctor said, you can't do that. Normally you would think the Doctor would say that. But I think he's being a bit cagey because he doesn't entirely trust the green blob, does he, at this point? Right. Especially later on in this episode, because obviously the astrologer bloke's noticing something that's a bit odd about the stars, where we find that the creature's just basically going to do a bit of a scarper because of the supernova that's just about to happen that's going to kill everybody on the planet and in the solar system. And what I did like was this communication device, when they got the creature out of the pit, there was just a door with a green throbbing thing with the things stuck on it. Was the fact that, you know, they used, the people would put their hand on it and the creature would speak through their larynx, apparently, because it's the larynx that makes the vowels and the consonants and everything, isn't it, when you've got, yeah, your mouth open. But I didn't mind that too much. I thought it was quite an imaginative way of using people to communicate. It was new, a new way of doing it. Myself, I thought that was quite good. But anyway, and in the end, because I'm moving forward, I'm just because... there's a scene in which, like, quote when the bloke, the tramp bloke, gets stabbed to death by the old lady who is in Unearthly Job. That was a really good scene. Very sort of Shakespearean.
The best and funniest thing he did in this entire episode.
Yeah, he wasn't there, was he? And probably the best thing for the episode, to be fair. Anyway, so the Doctor has a plan to while the green blob sort of floats away in space, to sort of stop this supernova or drag the planet away or do something. It did something, didn't it? I can't remember what it was, to stop the supernova from coming and save everybody. Is that right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, it wasn't quite. It didn't make sense, but that's okay.
Paul Gobert says, hello, can't stay, but I've been caught up in other stuff, but I'm now trying to catch up on the podcast. I'm currently on Underworld, so not too far to go, I think. Underworld was ages ago. Hopefully catch up soon. And then Laurie Nick said, yeah, blimey, that is a long time ago. That's over a year, isn't it, Underworld? Seems like a long time.
I can look.
If they're a dedicated listener, it wouldn't take long.
We get into it. When Debbie's on the show, you get into it, don't you? And then Laurie Nick says, just rolls off him without even a cuddle. Like, the Doctor saves the day, basically, by disregarding the laws of physics. And I did notice also in this episode that the randomizer was switched off because the TARDIS was able to go as and where.
Whatever he wanted.
He wanted it to.
That randomizer's been off for quite a while now, so they're going to be found.
Indeed, they are. Probably in a couple of series time, to be fair. all right, then, okay.
Underworld, we did last October.
Still quite a long time ago. He's not disagreeing with me, so I must be right.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Makes a change. Right, then.
Why would I disagree with you?
Be quiet. The creature from the pit. Now. Has its faults. Now, I've outlined the faults because of some of the silly stuff going on, and I've forgotten, because I actually quite like the story, I've actually forgotten them now already. I just sat there watching it, and I don't think I've seen it that often. I actually quite enjoy it. I don't understand why, though. I think it's because it's different. It's not the sort of your everyday Doctor Who story. I like the innovation in it with this sort of beautifully designed communication device. Yeah, the creature was a bit stupid the way it was, the blob. I think it would have been okay if they hadn't put that stupid protuberance on it. I think it was just a blob. It would have been like that creature out of, what's that? That brilliant series, Voyager. Now, there's one of the characters in Voyager is a bit of a green blob, but very small, much smaller than that one.
I like Rover in the original Prisoner.
Yeah,
was that a green blob?
That would have worked, something like that. That's quite menacing.
Well,
the way when it flopped all over the Doctor, I was like, they need that special effect from that.
the creature is also weather balloons. And Rover was a weather balloon.
Yes, it was, but it just wasn't as effective.
Okay. Well, back to my review of it.
What is the series that we're watching? The Orville. They've got a green blob character too.
Yes, they do.
Now, if Kirby'd said that, I would probably deduct a point there. But because I did actually say that about a minute ago, but never mind. Because it's you, Mary, and we love you, we're going to let you off.
You said Voyager.
Yeah, no, did I say Voyager?
Yes, you
I meant did. Orville. I meant Orville. I meant Orville. There's no green blobs in Voyager.
Okay.
Well, you need to deduct some points from you.
Shut up, Kirby. Anyway, yes, I quite enjoyed this story despite its faults. Okay, I just put up with certain aspects of it that because it was quite a good story, actually. I thought it was actually quite a good story, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. I dread to think what the rest of you lot think. But Kirby, go on then. What did you think of it?
I remember watching this one back in my university days and liking it then. I guess I glossed over the dodgy creature, but I was just beginning to watch Doctor Who, and I considered other of the creatures dodgy as well that I've actually later grown to be very fond of. Like, I used to think Zygons were dodgy. I like Zygons. But I actually enjoy this story. It's got a really silly-looking monster. But other than that, it's enjoyable.
Oh, good. Well, that was easy then. Yes. Debbie, have you seen this one before?
No, I'd never seen this one before.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Go on then. Oh dear, that laugh is an evil laugh. So that presumes obviously there's going to be something horrible said about it. So go on, go ahead.
Basically, because we had so much time to watch it, I decided to watch it almost weekly.
We must have thoroughly enjoyed it then.
Enjoyed it a hell of a lot more than if I'd binged it, because I think if I'd binged it, I probably would have been throwing things at the screen by then. But you could see Romana still, you know, obviously settling into her role. I just felt that she wasn't right. I felt obviously K9 was wrong.
Yeah, well, that was bad.
Felt that it was like they'd stepped out of the TARDIS and were trying to be different characters for a while. Even the Doctor seemed to just to pull it back, whereas before obviously he's been allowed his head and just gone off and done things. But then obviously when we get down into the pit and he's communicating with the monster, I was like, yes, this is classic Doctor Who. This is shaky sets, wobbly acting.
I beg your pardon, I didn't see any shaky sets.
No, I
saw one shaky boulder.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of shaky supposedly rocks around and that would move quite happily when somebody brushed past them. And I just wondered if maybe they were related to the cactus things. Maybe that was just topographical, really. But, you know, it's just... I really enjoyed the idea, and I felt that they didn't rush it, that like they normally do in the last episode. Oh, quick, is, you know, let's sort it all out. That the idea that this was going to happen, you know, that he was a guy from another planet and... It was you sort of were given it at the beginning, you know, this isn't an egg, that's obviously a spaceship. And, you know, it was a bit of a puzzling Who for me, because I actually quite enjoyed it, but then I was also really irritated by it. So it was one of those Marmite episodes that I just couldn't quite work out if I was really into it or just a bit fed up with it. But I love the whole idea of... now even I can't remember her name, Ed Astra, trying to keep this poor monster in the pit because wanting the trade deals. And the fact that metal is such a commodity, if it was such a commodity, why was it just lying around in her house? Why was it not in some kind of safety place, you know, a safe of some description, and it's just lying around and people can just walk in and take it? And that was a bit much of a far-fetched thing, but then again, this is a fantasy TV, you know, science fiction TV show. But yeah, I just felt that it was like a pantomime, but then there was some good science facts in it, and then, you know, you were too busy going, oh, K9 doesn't do that and Romana shouldn't do that, but it was still led you along nicely. And as I watched it like almost weekly, I watched the last two in 1 week, it really worked as a serial, and Isla thought it was brilliant. So, you know, that's exactly who this is for, is for Isla, and she Isla's age group, and her friends at school are absolutely agog that we're doing the journey at the moment. I've got two very young Doctor Who fans coming over for a play date with Isla tomorrow, and I can bet you it's just going to be a Doctor Who day.
Hey.
So yeah, it's just, you know, the kids at school have become very aware that there's a con coming, and that Isla's mum's actually not that bad.
I'm not sure about that one. That's probably pushing things a little bit too far.
I know. I was thinking that might be pushing it.
I don't know if I dreamt it, but I heard you say that there might be some Lego coming my way.
There is. I've got it in the other room for you.
Ooh, exciting. Anyway, right. Mary, I dread to think. What do you think of it?
Wait, where's the sound effect?
Music.
I was playing the sound effect. Right, Kirby.
And me.
Oh, hang on, I'll sod it. What do you think of it, Mary?
Oh, that was fun.
Well, I have never seen it before. This is my first time, and I did have to binge it, which I usually hate to do because I always lose interest partway through, like an episode two even. You know, it's hard for me to stick with four episodes in a row, but this one I had no trouble sticking with, because actually I think for the most part it was really well written and well acted.
You could definitely stand watching again. Definitely. I'd like to watch it again.
I mean, the things that are bad about it are honkingly bad. I mean, and we've talked about, you know, how terrible the monster is, and how even that Monty Python type gang, you know, that can't act, you know, to save their lives, how bad they are. I think they were one of the bigger spoilers in this. And even Romana, it was a shame that Romana's first acting job as a companion had to come, you know, three stories into her time, because it's like she had a personality transplant. Because she's this soft, flouncy, emotional Romana, which we've already seen her be very capable and very smart. So she doesn't really kind of reach that until near the end of the story. So that was kind of odd to see. But I want to commend the people who played the major roles. Orgonen, the astrologer, Lady Adrasta, Corella, that older lady. Every time they would say Corella, I would want to finish it off with DeVille. they were all so good, so in full form. And you could tell that Tom Baker really enjoyed acting with them, because that's when he would pull back and be his best, was when, you know, he was interacting with them. But the whole story, the originalness of the ideas, and even the sets, for being a studio-bound story, it was very lush, very nicely done that way. And I know that, yeah, there were some dodgy rocks and all that, but everything else just looked so good. So, and each cliffhanger made me want to move on to the next episode to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about it all through the week until the next episode. It was one of those where I wonder how they're going to end with that, and that's not how it happened. While. Yeah,
it kept pulling me along, and there was some really good humor in this. Lines that stuck out, like, you know, like that guy when he gets stabbed, you know, is that tempered steel, that kind of stuff. And I laughed out loud at the you know, how to climb the Himalayas, and then how to read Tibet and all that. There were things like that peppered throughout the story that and especially the acting of that astrologer. The way he would say things and all that, he would make me laugh. So it was a combination of, you know, some really well-written humor pulled off by good actors, along with some real melodrama. So even though, like I said, there are some really honkingly awful things in it, overall, I really enjoyed it.
Yay.
Right.
Yeah.
Marvelous. So I suppose we better move on to feedback. Apparently, Burby posted on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, a request for feedback, and said we didn't get
three
any.
Times. So
three times. All right, so I had to emphasise the three times bit, didn't you? Well, we did get Laurie Nick saying Cat Weasel's reaction is an appropriate one. That's to do with a little video that was posted of the approaching protuberance.
She also said this was the universe's most boring porno, even with Cat Weasel.
Eric Escamilla, said, "Oh dear," in relation to one of the videos. That's really not a lot said there. I did get a lovely message from Ian Kirkbright. Billy Kirkbright. What's that Ian for? Billy Kirkbright, who said he's coming to the Isle of Wight, and looking forward to that. I've already booked my ticket to another island, and I'm only joking.
I'll be in my new shop, so he said he'd pop in and see me.
But did he say when he's coming?
Not precisely. I know it's August.
Oh, it is August. Okay. Well, let's hope it's around about the time of the Fantasy.
If you're listening,
weekend.
Billy, please confirm.
And not when I'm doing a camping holiday that we will be doing at some point during August. Although I suppose I could tear myself away from Thorness Bay. Let's go back to what I was talking about. Feedback. Yes, we were talking about feedback, weren't we? Let's see if I can find some. That's not a lot. Kirby is moaning, but maybe appropriately on this occasion. Not a lot of feedback, because nobody loves us anymore.
Well, we've got a script from Ian Kirk, and I hope we got something from Alan T. Butcher.
Oh, God.
That's for Kirby. And we're going to do this as well, because he's jumping ahead and being very, very naughty.
There have been times that...
Oh, here we go. Excuse. You're going to get sued by Reese Partner at this rate. Anyway, where did I get to? Oh, yes, I was going to play this, wasn't I? It was... Oh dear. It says problem playing this audio file. Download or hang on a second. Let's download it. No, I'm gonna try and play it. I'm just being stupid. Oh no, it wants me to download it. How weird. Never had to download them before.
Oh, that's a bit odd. What's going on? Yeah.
It's not even letting me download it. How weird. I wonder if it's anything to do with people upstairs playing games on the PlayStation.
Alexa.
I'm downloading it. Oh no, I'm not. It's not letting me. Download this file at your risk. I want to download it though. Shut your face.
Alexa, drop into Isabella's room.
What's going on?
It didn't work.
The attached files have been scanned for viruses. Download these files at your own risk, it says. And it won't let me download it. But I want to download
it. Has he sent you a virus?
No, he sent me an audio file, but it won't let me play. Why is it not letting me play it, Debbie?
I don't know.
It's not letting me download it. It's not letting me play it.
Can you shove the email over to me and I'll see if I can... Oh, I can't play it.
Your pardon?
Yeah,
sorry.
Right, I'm going to forward it to myself. Yeah. I'm forwarding it to myself via my other email account and see if that works. This is top quality live podcasting.
Exciting podcast.
Okay, right, let's see if that's going to arrive. Oh, well, it's gone into my junk, is it? Nope. Shouldn't go. An email for myself should not go into my junk, in theory. And it's still not arrived yet. What's going on? Why is it not arrived? Oh, it says... I sent it to myself. It never arrived. How weird. I don't understand. Kirby, I don't understand why it won't let me play it or download it or anything.
You know what my response would be, so what? I better not say it.
What do you mean?
Oh, probably because you're working with a Mac.
Of course. It had to be that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not coming to me, so I'm in a bit of the dark here. So while that happens and I try and resolve
the situation...
Has
he sent the script? Can we read that?
He did send...
I'd rather hear Ian say it.
It's more fun to hear it.
I'd rather hear Ian say it. So while that's happening, we're going to go down another road and see if I can get over this slight technical issue. Debbie?
I heard that painful noise.
Oh, my days. Okay. Canine finds his voice, well, someone else's voice at least, or Erratum with Erato, the return of the old mother. Dear 20 megabyters, Creature from the Pit is, of course, a closely studied deconstruction of trade policy and some of the pitfalls it is easy to fall into, which may hold back valuable opportunities. Sorry. I like that. By failing to recognise and accommodate cultural differences, you may risk a deleterious outcome where a fruitful synergetic relationship may have been constructed. The story goes further to shadow and foreshadow the recently elected contemporaneous Prime Minister Thatcher's tenure of strong and selfishly driven leadership based on acquisitiveness, which eventually and not before time ends with her own henchmen setting the wolf weeds on her. That's very good. Finally, of course, Organon, An astrologer obviously illustrates the commentariat of the news media trying to eke out a living by pleasing the current establishment. The future foretold, the past explained, the present apologised for. It should be noted that whilst some ridicule Arato's appearance and his phallic tumification, this is of course a counterpoint to the proposition made as per Galaxy 4 before it that a world with a female-dominated power structure would be necessarily authoritarian and shallowly driven by appearance. I must say that I find this a very difficult point to agree with as a general concept, although I guess it was a sign of the times at that moment in history. We also learn that Old Mother not only survived the Cave of Skulls after all, and went on to gainful employment with Lady Adrasta of Finchley. All in all, Creature from the Pit is a brilliant and witty story which cannot be charged with any lack of originality or ambition. It does perhaps fill the role of melodrama rather than a more subtle paradigm, but in this respect, the actors certainly step up to the plate and deliver with gusto. It is possible that David Braley was taken on as the new voice for K-9, not so much for his seamlessly similar performance to Leeson's, but maybe he was a small actor that got into the costume more easily.
Oh. Here.
A standout performance by Cat Weasel himself as Organon rounds off a very enjoyable story. Next up, Doctor Who and the Drug Muppets of Eden, or The Return of Iron Gron. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher. Georgia.
Oh, very nicely
well,
done.
I don't really want to read the script. I want to hear Ian.
I want to hear Ian too. Can I we want, just put it off?
I wonder if he can send it to my other email address, apvs@hotmail.co.uk. Then it might work then. Because if I open it up through Safari probably won't like Gmail, etc., etc. But we have had stuff coming through on the feed. We've got Andy Nunny joined. We've got Lillian Robbins said the creature's name was Arato. Arato was the music of the erotic poetry. And Alan T. Butcher said, I fed back.
Yes, I know. I just read it.
Read. I will attempt to see what if I can get into it via Safari. Remember that old thing, Safari? Let's have a look. Safari. I'm typing in Safari on Safari, duh. Before I continue, I don't want any of these. I just want to get into my Gmail account and stop being silly. I've got to agree to something. Now I'm in Gmail via Safari. What do you think is going to happen, Kirby?
It'll work fine.
Right, okay. Does it remember my password? It does remember my password. What's the part I've got to type in? So Kirby keeps interrupting me.
Do you want to go and watch Britain's Got Talent? This is happening.
Guess what? It's come up with Gmail virus scanners are temporary unavailable. The attached files haven't been scanned for viruses. Download these files at your own risk. Well, surely I should have the option to actually download them at my own risk.
If you download them,
I thought that Macs were immune to viruses.
Oh, be quiet, you.
You get the message anyway, even though you don't get the virus.
Yeah. No, I just don't want to know it. I just don't know why it. I don't want to. It's asking me now. It says, "Was this thing helpful?" No, basically. Won't let me open it at all. It just keeps bouncing it, saying that it might have a virus. And I haven't got any way of filtering it one way or another to say that it hasn't. It's really, really weird.
Play it next week.
Yeah, well, I might not be able to play it next week if it can't play it.
No, have him send a new one.
There's probably nothing wrong with the current one. It's just, it's for some reason Google Gmail, or whatever you call it, sees it as potentially virusy holdingy thingy.
Well, how about we read it then? Just
we
for
read
now.
It.
You can read it.
Oh, go on then. I'm really disappointed.
I don't have it. Is Kirby got it up?
I beg your pardon?
Yes. That's what she said.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, go on then.
Filth.
Very
the creature
disappointed.
From the Pit by David Fisher. Gmail. We are down in the mines again, a common Doctor Who theme. Chloris is an abundance of chlorophyll. Who'd have thought it? The first episode in 1963 had the TARDIS hiding in a scrapyard. Here we have a small tribe of scrap metal collectors. Was the creature Arato related to the Rutans? It looked like a giant Rutan with a thing.
A thing?
Ramana knows about Peter Rabbit. Once again, she knows too much about Earth culture for comic effect. K-9's different voice actor was a surprise.
Yes.
It was surprising that the creature, Arato, after years confined in the pit, knew the neutron star would arrive in 24 hours. More comedy again. They made fun of an astrologer. I expect Adam does not believe in astrology. Taurus can be stubborn.
Oh, was that it? Sorry.
That's it.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't really listen to that. I was still trying to find a way of getting into it. I beg your pardon. Right, so what I think's happened is I think it's Gmail's fault, because it does say quite clearly here, Gmail virus scanners are temporarily unavailable. It means their own virus scanners aren't working, so therefore they can't vouch for any attachments.
But you should be able to download it and just play it using something else.
It doesn't. Well, I haven't got anything else. It says open with, and it says music player for Google Drive, Drive Tunes, Cloud Convert, Connect More Apps. Those are the options available. Haven't got any of them, and I don't really want to. It probably won't let me download them any because of this virus filter. So what can I do? Nothing really. Thanks, Ian. If we are able to access it by next week, it will be played, won't it, Debbie?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, hang on. Oh, I've done that one. Oh, hang on. It says audio retrialers WAV file. Ooh. Oh, hang on. Let's see if this works. Hang on. It's not allowing me to. It's got a download option and then doesn't download it.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Right then, Ian. I'll tell you what we're going to do. One last thing in regards to this is send it to apvs@hotmail.co.uk. That's APV, as in Adam's Professional Video Services, @hotmail.co.uk. I reckon if it comes into that email account, we might get a bit more joy and I might actually be able to play it. But we'll move on until that does or does not happen. Fantasy Con.
Yay!
That was a very muted yay.
No, yay! It's going to be great.
It is going to happen. I think there's a few doubters out there. And there's certainly a few people out there that sort of don't seem to be, not the punters.
Earlier,
the punters, obviously, the people who want to come to the, and the people who are actually vending there, happy with it. But there are other people, like media people on the island, who want absolutely nothing to do with it, and therefore
which
will not help
weird.
Us. It is a bit weird, but it's not as if we're... I mean, look at Island Con. Mainland people come over, and they're all singing, dancing with their blooming, you know, their promotion of the event, but most Isle of Wight media people will not promote it. I'm going to have to cough. I'm not going to name any names, but because they might change their minds a bit in there at the time, but it does frustrate me greatly that we're doing a good thing for the Isle of Wight, that will bring people to the island, that people that are already on the island will come to it, and there's various other things. In fact, most people have bought tickets for it from the mainland, so... we're not.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very frustrating. We're still trying to, you know, do publicity via means that aren't radio, aren't local papers, because basically they're not interested in helping us. They only want to help people that are in their little cliques, I suppose you call them, isn't it? Even the location of the event didn't really want to help us until I told them I was going to pay them the whole lot. So hopefully now things will change on that aspect. But yeah, it's happening. We've got the funds for it, and we've now got a new guest in David Finn, who he was in Pandorica Opens. He played some Roman Auton, more famously in Game of Thrones episode season 2 episode, was it something?
Oh, you shared that clip earlier.
Yes, I did. That was a teaser clip. Yes, that was his death scene in a very amusing death scene, to be fair, in Game of Thrones. He was also had the lead in the School of Rock, the London production, for quite a long time. He's been in Between Us. He's been in some American program I've never heard of, so he's quite successful, really.
Well, maybe
so.
The Americans might have heard of it. What is it?
What, the program that he was in? Well, if they looked at the blurb that I posted when with the announcement,
I'm trying to find it.
Oh, here we go. He's trying to find it. Right, go to Fantasy Con on Facebook.
I'm looking. Hang on.
Fan TC Con. Right, Fan TC Con. Oh, good lord. Everything's loading slowly. I've rearranged all this stuff, Nicole.
Okay, so let's see.
TCCon. David Finn. Yeah, and it says he was in...
Looking.
He's loads of things. He's been Pete versus Life, Peep Show, In Between Us, Spooks, Teachers, Sherlock, and Black Mirror. He was also in Undateable, playing Brett. And he's been in lots of things, so somebody must have heard him. I did actually want, when I saw the pictures of him from School of Rock, remember him. I think it was on Children and Thee. They did a little School of Rock session on there, and he was in that. So, yeah, he's been on Delhi. And he's
okay,
coming.
So what's the name of this American thing?
I believe it's called... bear with me. I had it. I just said it a moment ago. American series called Undateable, playing Brett.
Never heard of it.
Oh, I do apologise about that. That's what he was in. So, yeah, he's our latest announcement. I wasn't going to announce any more guests, but it became a little bit difficult to say no to that one. So glad he's coming along. Colin Baker has recently responded, eventually, to my email, citing being extremely busy as to the reason why he took about 3 or 4 weeks to actually respond to it. He's just reiterating the fact that he's coming and that, that Alistair, he's quite happy to do a... dedicate Alice's painting of him to a charity of his choice. That's Colin's choice, not Alice's. So that's all in motion, and he might even do a skit on stage if the script is suitable. So that's, again, that's in Alistair's court. We also have a new mascot, as in a little cartoon character that was created by Dan Digby, which is Cosplay Girl, which is basically based on Isabella, because we want Isabella to actually get the costume and be
Cosplay Girl. Amazing.
It was quite funny because a few people have been going four, and I'm quite pleased to embarrass them when to saying she's only 12. But then she'll be 13. That's still a bit pervy. I beg your pardon?
Ida would like to dress up in it. She thought she was amazing.
Yes.
So if Izzy goes, no, I don't want to, then you've got an Isla waiting in the wings.
She won't say that. She knows it's based on her, because the little boots are her boots. The only thing we changed was she didn't like the idea of the character having red pants. So I changed it to a red sort of mini skirt thingy. So that was the only sort of amendment she made to it. We've got loads of that. We've had a big advert at Trinity Theatre during their sort of adverts they play on the screen. That was quite nice. Henna tattoos by henna designer Tamana. They're coming along. We've also got some glitter. I haven't announced it yet, but a glitter art lady who's also the sister of Roy, our best friend at FantasyCon. And we've got Hellfire Crafts. We've got loads of stuff coming. There'll be more to announce as the time gets closer, because we've now got less than 3 months to the event, which is happening. It's quite exciting, really. Now I know it's really happening, I'm going to get a little bit more excited about it. Deb's got some Lego to add to the probably about 50 kilos of Lego that Debbie's already bought on.
It's a console scene with River Song and things in it, but it's not an official Lego.
You realise, although it's brilliant, we'll have to get it out, but it won't be acceptable to the Lego Masters simply because it's not Lego. But I'm happy with it.
It looks great.
I'm not quite happy with that. Yeah, but Lego have actually bought out a Doctor Who set. It's quite rare anyway. Doctor Who Dimensions. Lego Dimensions Doctor Who set. There is one available that's actual actual Lego. And also we've got, but thank you, Debbie. We want it, and we're going to try and get it infiltrated into it somehow.
Well, if it doesn't work, it's still for you.
But we have, apparently, thank you, darling, I appreciate that. Another one of our vendors, That Shop in Cowes, has some Lego, actual Lego Daleks in there. But every time I go down there, it's shut, so I can't get the blooming things. Apparently £5 each, these Lego Daleks. So if I can get my hand on at least one of those, I'll be quite happy. But yes, lots of things going on at FantasyCon.
I have a giant Lego Dalek in my garage.
That doesn't help us. people who want to join the page on Facebook, it's at FantasyCon. So all one word, which is the same as the hashtag FantasyCon, funny enough. Come and join the fun and come over from America. So we've got to, if Billy comes over at the right time of year, we've got somebody jet setting over to see us anyway, so that'd be good, wouldn't it? Let's see. Oh, I've got audio feedback from Ian Kirk. Let's see if this is good old Hotmail.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hey!
The Creature from the Pit by David Fisher. We are down in the mines again. A common Doctor Who theme. Chloris has an abundance of chlorophyll. Who'd have thought it? The first episode in 1963 had a TARDIS hiding in a scrapyard. Here, we have a small tribe of scrap metal collectors. Was the creature Erato related to the Rutans? It looked like a giant Rutan with a thing. Romana knows about Peter Rabbit. Once again, she knows too much about Earth culture for comic effect. K9's different voice actor was a surprise. It was surprising that the creature, Erato, after years confined in the pit, knew the neutron star would arrive in 24 hours. More comedy again. They made fun of an astrologer. I expect Adam does not believe in astrology. Taurus can be stubborn. Bye for now.
Isn't it much nicer actually hearing the real Ian? He did it much better, didn't he?
I am not an Ian.
You could hear when you were reading it, you could see how Ian was going to say it, and he didn't disappoint there. That was brilliant.
Right. that was good.
All right, let's have a look. I'm going to have a look at Doctor Who
News. Sometimes he adds music and stuff, which I didn't know if he would.
Yeah, he does keep that in the script, though, when he adds bits like that. Anyway, thanks, Ian, for persevering with that one. Right, Doctor Who News. We've got... I'm trying to see where I last got up to. Oh, there's been some pictures released from the set of the next series of Doctor Who. Of the Doctor, face-to-face with the Jadoon. We've also had some... actually, this goes back quite a long way. We've had Paul Condon, who's passed away at the age of 48. He was a popular DJ at Gallifrey One. I beg your pardon?
I said, crikey, O'Reilly, that's young.
She's young, yes. Like I said, a lovely picture of the Doctor with the Jadoon. It's a very, very pretty picture, desktop download, if you so wish. Stephen Thorne has died at the age of 84.
Aww.
He created three of the greatest adversaries of the Doctor, yes. Characters whose influence endures the programme today. The demons he portrayed Azal. Great voice, isn't it? And what else did he do? He was, wasn't he Omega? Omega!
Omega.
Omega was what Debbie called it, wasn't it? Omega.
Yeah.
And then he was, wasn't he the Isabella's birth story, in fact. The story was on the day after she was born, the Satan pit. And he played the sort of...
No.
Was he not?
What did
he know? What was he then after that?
Eldred.
Must live.
Was it? But didn't he not? Wasn't he in the new series?
No.
But it says here, three story. Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, I got that bit wrong. But well done anyway. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're thinking of the guy who did the voice of the Satan pits.
Yeah.
Was my brain.
It was Darn, apparently. I'm pretty sure it was voiced by a classic Doctor Who voice.
Your brain's gone empty.
Yeah.
We'll get the answer one day. Coming up, Kirby remembers
Pyramids of Mars.
That's it. Pyramids of Mars. Yeah. Sutek.
Sutek, yes. I've got a Sutek model kit over here, but I don't see it directly in front of me. Otherwise, I would have remembered.
Okay, well, never mind about that. Doctor Who DVD titles to be re-released by BBC Shop in the USA. I thought BBC Shop was defunct. How'd that come about then? Several classic titles. When pretty pointless when they're tending to release whole series now on Blu-ray. But there you go. So that's Doctor Who news. Whowon.co.uk have...
Is that whowon.co.uk?
They've sort of shut their shop.
Yes, they have. They've shut the shop.
But they're still alive on the good old internet.
What about the things in the window? Where are they going?
They're owned by the owners, especially the Dalek. I could get a Dalek for 500 quid if I so wish to, you know, because good old Anthony Griffiths, who's very clever and builds Daleks, I think he offered me one for 500 quid. I could buy one on behalf of the event, but not yet. But that would be
where
exciting.
Where you could put it afterwards?
I don't know where I'd keep it. It does split into two bits, but I don't know where I'd keep it. I haven't got any room for it, but I'd love to have one.
Big shed you can borrow until you find a place for it.
That's not going to happen, is it? You want to keep it nice, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I just had the thought of painting it in the sort of in the red, white and blue sort of Union flag sort of thing. That'd be really cool. But it's not going to happen, so we'll move on.
Flag, Dalek, okay.
Doctor Who Magazine 539. A lovely picture of Jodie Whittaker on the front cover, sort of with her eyes shut and looking pretty. And the Faithless Ones audio CD is also coming out. So that's coming soon. Oh, that's latest products. We're coming soon. We've got loads of Big Finish products and books and... audio plays, and there's a unit incursions as well. Lots of stuff coming out. So for your Doctor Who gifts and memorabilia, go to whowon.co.uk, our longest sponsors. Another friend of ours is Lavazzi, where all I'm going to say about Lavazzi is I don't think I've got any new Doctor Who products come out, but I will check. I was pretty sure that Meninda would have actually sent me some emails to say, hey, we got this new Doctor Who thing we want you to plug. So I don't think they have, but they are still selling the best Fourth Doctor scarves in existence.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And for some reason, their website isn't loading up.
And I've been to two conventions in the past month and wore my Doctor Who scarf, my Lavarzi scarf, both places. Mm. And people just still love it, even at actual Doctor Who conventions.
I should hope so, too. But I can't get into their website, so that's all I'm going to say.
I was wearing it at a furry convention.
A what? What was it? Oh, a furry convention, I'm sorry.
You still can't quite get the hang of that one, can you, Adam?
What, a furry convention?
A furry convention, yeah.
Anyway, so right, now the next story we're going to be reviewing, I believe I have forgotten the title of.
Should be Nightmare of Eden.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Thank you, Mary. Nightmare of Eden. Oh, is that the one?
Christine, never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
But I have.
Can't remember it.
Is this the one? Yeah, this is the one where the two ships get intertwined with each other.
Oh, I remember. That's right. And there's a big sort of like a 3D. There's almost like a holodeck in the ship, isn't there? Where
yes.
Romana wanders into this picture and becomes part of it and sort of, that sort of thing. I think that's a part of it. Yeah, all right. And K-9's still got a stupid voice, if I remember rightly.
He's going to have the stupid voice for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And so, except for Shada, obviously.
Except for Shada, and also except for episodes that they can't be bothered to write him into. So there you go.
I believe those have already happened.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right then, so that's what we're going to do next week. I'm just checking before you interrupt me, Kirby. The 8th of June is his 13th birthday. So...
Stop recording then.
No, that's a Saturday. So I'm not sure whether anything is going to extend to the Sunday or not. But at the moment, I've got nothing in my diary for Sunday the 9th of June. So we're aiming to do it then.
Okay.
Because...
What have I got? Oh, 8th of June, I'm going to a wedding. 9th of June, I'm fine. Yeah.
Good. Because the following Sunday is the Isle of Wight Festival. So I won't be doing it then, and then we're back to normal on the 23rd, 30th, and I've got to film a show on the 7th of July, and then I've got another show on the 14th of July. So the 7th and 14th of July are out. Won't be able to do those. 21st of July is all right, and then I might be all right. Oh, there's a London Comic Con on, but I'm not going to it, so it's irrelevant really. On the 28th of July, and then we're right on the 4th of August, the 11th of August. The 18th of August, unless I'm starting my camping holiday at that point. So there you go.
Fancy well, that's months from now. We can deal with it then.
Oh, are you saying you're getting a bit bored of me projecting?
No, I closed my calendar, so I couldn't follow.
Right. Alan T. Butcher says, we had a tornado in Bognor Regis once, so caravans got slightly scratched.
But your recent camping expedition looks like it was fun.
That's because it was fun, although quite tiring. I managed to get through that initial night where I normally, well, last time I got horrendous cramp because of the action of one hoiking horrendously heavy tent down two flights of stairs, getting it into the car, and then hoiking it out of the car, and then blowing it out. Yeah, so that all those actions are using muscles I don't normally use, especially the pumping up of the tent. So I got really bad cramps. I was a bit mindful of this, so I did drink quite a lot that evening. So I didn't get it the first evening, but I did get it on the last evening for some reason. Just a little bit in my... What's that muscle at the front of your leg? And that muscle at the front of your leg, that one there, that was quite painful. Apparently Izzy got cramp one night and didn't bother waking me up to tell me she had cramp. And I thought, I said to her, if you're in any discomfort or anything like that, wake me up. I don't mind being woken up. She may not like being getting woken up, because when I had cramp, that she just decided to stay in a room and I was going, help, help. She stayed in a room and pretended she was asleep. So... But I don't mind if she wakes me up, but she didn't. But yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. It is actually surprisingly tiring doing camping holidays. But it's like I'm doing a lot of cooking. I'm doing a lot of washing up. I'm doing lots of traipsing backs and forwards to the arcade. And we would play, when she had a couple of friends over, we played activities as well with her friends for two nights. days and nights, I should say. So, but it was immense fun. Even Deb and the dogs came over for a couple of days, which was for a couple of afternoons. Yeah, love it. That's but unfortunately, it was gone so quickly because it was only four nights. Whereas the one we're planning to do in August is we're planning to try and hopefully have a week. I love camping. I love my tent.
I like camping too, but my girls hate it. So nope.
Okay.
Master.
Yes.
Can I bring up a different science fiction thing that I believe you are interested in?
Go on then.
You're a Star Wars fan, correct?
No.
What?
No, not really.
Oh, yeah.
I can give it or take it. I'm a fan of the fact that the Garrison are coming to FantasyCon, because I know that Star Wars
has
amazing.
That's what made me think that
you were. I do watch it, though. I do enjoy it, but I'm not a particular fan of it.
I'm an avid fan.
You're an avid fan, are you?
Just on the Star Wars end of things, don't know if you guys have noticed, but in Disneyland, just 2 days ago...
Oh, yes.
...opened a new land called Star Wars Galaxy's End.
Ooh.
Galaxy's
it's
Edge,
perfect,
I'm sorry.
Isn't it? It looks absolutely amazing.
It is perfect. Oh, my goodness, I want to go there. And they're going to be opening the same thing at Walt Disney World later this year, or is it next year, or something like that.
Oh, but, so this one is in Anaheim, huh?
Yes, this one's in Anaheim.
I will say, while I have to interrupt you, if anybody comes to FantasyCon and comes to the Star Wars zone, you'll find that that zone is perfect too, because
yes, it will be. Yeah,
it's going to be the biggest sets that they've ever set or been able to set
I've
up at a local convention. Yeah, but that was only a small portion of what they can do.
So but anyway, go out and find videos of tours of Galaxy's Edge, because it is just you go in there and you are on the planet of Batu, which they invented for this. This new land in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. All the cast members are going to be in character. You are visiting the planet of Batuu, and they will be. They all have personas.
So no spoilers there then.
And you get to the one ride, which is open attraction. Sorry, this is open right now. Is you get to pilot the Millennium Falcon.
Ooh.
And when you go to get into this attraction, to get into the pilot, to the cockpit, you walk through that middle part of the Millennium Falcon where the game table is and all that. It's perfect.
Brilliant.
It's absolutely perfect. And Kylo Ren is wandering around and growling at people and... There's rebel spies wandering around and little stories going on, and it's just it looks fantastic.
It's a very nice review, Kirby. It's a very nice review, Kirby. Thank you.
I think it would be worth the $149 it now costs per day to go to Disneyland.
Anyway, did anybody see the finale to The Big Bang Theory?
No.
No.
Right, this is what happened, right? The lift blew up and killed everybody in the whole of the apartments.
The lift was repaired. I know that.
I said that because it wasn't a spoiler for her. You mean person.
It was all over the internet.
Well, I didn't see it because I managed to avoid it. Thank you very much. Anyway, but it's very good, Debbie, when you get a chance to watch it. But make sure you've got a hanky to hand. Okay. You will need a hanky.
By the way, it's not like a show.
What?
It's what? An American show. It's an elevator.
No, it's a lift. And also, young Sheldon is not coming back after this series.
Oh.
So that's a shame as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. There we go. That ended that argument. And what else? What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Something slipped my mind. We were talking about some stuff that was going on in regards to TV programs. Not sure Voyage. I'm not sure Orville's coming back either, because I don't think that's got.
Yeah, I heard that was coming back as well.
So. I hope it does, because that's the best. That's what I was going to talk about. That new series on Amazon Prime that with
Good Omens.
Yeah, that's just come out. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet.
I'm really looking forward to it.
David Tennant.
I want to watch it.
You don't
Mary?
I said, I just saw it. I mean, I saw it posted on Amazon Prime, so I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, we're going to watch it. It looks really, really good.
We watched the first episode yesterday with Isla.
Yes.
Huh?
She absolutely adored it as well, and she's so excited to watch more. I was a bit worried it would be a bit too adulty for her, but
adulty.
Yeah, she's seen us.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to watching it as a family. And also the other thing we watched. Have you seen that film with Zac Efron where he plays Ted Bundy?
Oh, I'd like to see that.
That is a movie. So good. He's brilliant in it. And it's not gratuitous. It just talks about... It just shows what a con merchant he was, basically. But it's absolutely brilliant. So well made. And so recreated. Where they recreated all the scenes, the court scenes and everything. And then right at the end of it, all the credits are going up. They show the actual scenes that they recreated, as they were filmed with the real Ted Bundy. But what a movie that is. It's so good. It's so gripping. And bearing in mind, it's a real-life movie. I can thoroughly recommend... The funny thing was, I was watching it with two 12-year-olds and a 13-year-old. It's a 15-certificate film. And that they wanted to see it because Lily, the 12-year-old, one of the other... Obviously, Izzy was the other 12-year-old, was saying, oh, I really like this film. Can we watch it? So we did watch it at the campsite. And then we're going up to the one sex scene in the film. Oh, I just got to pre-warn you, there's a bit of a sort of... an embarrassing scene coming up in a minute. And so that's quite funny. Master. Being pre-warned by a 12-year-old that a sex scene was coming up. I was like, this is a 15. There shouldn't have scenes like this in a 15 film. Anyway, carry on.
Master?
Yes?
CBS.com shows Young Sheldon news. Young Sheldon renewed for season 3 and season 4.
Right. I tell you what, who's going to be delighted by that news? Apart from me, of course. Is the other two people in this house, because we love that series so much. Right then, you've stopped me from watching half an hour of Britain's Got Talent, because I'm pretty sure it started at 8, so I'm going to go off and watch that.
I watched the highlights of that, because I just see it on YouTube.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. We'll be back next week, and thank you for the one viewer that's still watching, and thank you for listening and being part of the show, if indeed you are. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
By a Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.